This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. The original Gone Girl, the supermom. Remember Sherry Papini, who said she was kidnapped by three Hispanic individuals that beat her, knocked out her teeth, broke her nose, starved her, and branded her? Well, tonight, in a bizarre U-turn, she now claims she really was kidnapped, despite serving jail time for her elaborate hoax so she could go snug up with an ex-boyfriend. I'm Nancy Grace. This is Crime Stories. I want to thank you for being with us.
Emergency, what are you reporting?
I saw a person on the side of the road waving a shirt, and I'm guessing they're in trouble. And
like, I'm wanting to report there's somebody in the middle of the freeway on I-5, and it looks like a blonde female, possibly.
There's a lady on the side of the road needing help.
That lady is a liar. And that liar is the original Gone Girl, Sherry Papini. It all starts right here with a 911 call. Listen.
I just got home from work, and my wife wasn't there, which is unusual, and my kids should have been there by now from, like, daycare. So I was like, oh, maybe she went on a walk. I couldn't find her, so I called the daycare to see what time she picked up the kids. The kids were never picked up, so I got freaked out, so I hit, like, the Find My iPhone app thing. And it said that it showed her phone, like, at our end of our driveway. We don't have really good service.
Okay.
Not the end of our driveway, but the end of our street. So I just drove down there, and I saw her phone with her headphones because she started running again. And I found her phone, and it's got, like, hair ripped out of it, like, in the headphones. So I'm, like, totally freaking out, thinking, like, somebody, like, just grabbed her.
I will never forget when Sherry Papini, so-called supermom, a very loving mom, seemingly vanishes into thin air. Someone apparently snatching her off the street near her home as she goes jogging. Her husband distraught. It was a nightmare. Joining me, an all-star panel to make sense of what we know now as Sherry Papini, the original Gone Girl, takes a bizarre U-turn. Now, this is after she does jail time for pulling off the hoax of the century that she had really been kidnapped when actually she was snugged up with her boyfriend the whole time. Now she says, okay, erase, Jurassic erase. I really was kidnapped. And I pled to lying because I was pressured to. I can't wait to hear this. Joining me, Sheriff Michael Johnson, superstar in the law enforcement community, Sheriff Shasta County. That department investigated the original Sherry Papini case. Okay, Sheriff Johnson, your department faced with a missing mom snatched in broad daylight. At the beginning, what did law enforcement think?
Yeah, at first, everybody took it very seriously. We thought, yeah, we had a missing girl. And just for clarification, Nancy, I inherited this mess. I came into it, and I call it my favorite waste of time, because that's all Sherry did with anybody was waste everybody's time. We get the report of, and you heard the 911, of a woman missing and suspicious circumstances. But right from the beginning, the headphones and the phone that you hear about that's laying on the ground with hair tangled in it was kind of coiled neatly and set aside. It didn't look at all like an abduction as is reported, but nevertheless, everybody took it very seriously and allocated a whole lot of time, a whole lot of effort. Allied agencies, every public safety, search and rescue, everybody got involved in the beginning to find this missing woman.
You know, Sheriff Johnson, at the very beginning, I said the same thing about her phone. I've handled a lot of investigations, prosecutions, and then covered cases as well. Just for instance, Maggie Murdaugh, you know, Alex Murdaugh, the South Carolina lawyer that murdered his wife and son. Her phone was thrown out of a car window and found on the side of the road in the weeds. And it struck me, the dichotomy of Sherry Papini's hair being found in the wires of the earpiece like it had been snatched out, but yet it was all coiled up and set away so it wouldn't be run over. Now, if that phone had really been snatched away from her, it would have been thrown somewhere, probably run over in the middle of the road.
Yeah, absolutely. Or ditched, or he would have broken, thrown in the water or something to get rid of it. He wouldn't just leave it there. And it definitely wouldn't have been in the condition it was. Obviously, we know that now. But it, from the beginning, things were not adding up. And that is a perfect start.
Well, I'm like you, Sheriff Johnson. I don't want to disbelieve what a victim says, because victims in our country are so often maligned that I thought there must be some innocent explanation as to how that phone was found neatly tucked away. But that said, this is what the then sheriff had to say, Tom Basinka. Listen.
Last night at about 10 minutes to 6 p.m., Keith Papini reported his wife, Sherry, as a missing person with suspicious circumstances. When he returned home, he found that his wife was not home and the children had not been picked up from their daycare.
That is from the Reading Record Searchlight, and the search was on. To Kelly Somm joining us, anchor Action News Now, the CBS and NBC affiliate in Reading. Kelly, thank you for being with us. Tell me about the massive search. Now, you heard Sheriff Johnson describing it as his favorite waste of time. But let me throw a technical legal term at you. There was a crap ton of man hours, money, resources, and emotion poured into the search for Sherry Papini. Describe.
So we get a lot of missing person reports in the newsroom. But people have the right to disappear if they want. And this one quickly took on a life of its own. We were getting inundated with friends and family members sending us all these pictures you're showing on the screen. And it really painted a compelling tale. Within the first day, it wasn't just law enforcement. There was this uprising of community concern, strangers volunteering their time to go search for Sherry Papini, a woman they never met, because it seemed so unusual, according to the story being shared by her loved ones, for her to disappear like this without a trace. So it really did take on a life of its own. It was within hours all over social media, people sharing and sharing. And that's why it became a national story so quickly.
Yeah, I'm very, very curious. Kelly, she was ultimately found. She was found. How did she reemerge after she was kidnapped? And what was her story?
So it was 22 days later, Thanksgiving morning. I do the early morning news. So as we were wrapping up our show, we were getting the word that in the pre-dawn hours, she had been found along Interstate 5, about 150 miles south of Reading. And she was almost darting into traffic, waving frantically to get drivers' attention. She had a chain around her waist. She had zip ties around her wrist. She looked like she'd been battered and bruised. She had rashes on her arm and legs. And she had been branded. She actually, there's some photos where they show her lifting up her shirt and you can see the brand. These are the first photos of her being branded. At that time, we thought by her captor. And so it was this dramatic story unfolding, and it was unfolding on Thanksgiving morning when the entire community had gathered to release balloons, yellow balloons, in honor of Sherry Papini as a signal to the heavens, we're looking for you, Sherry. And then it seemed like
okay,
it was
please stop right there. I just got to stop you, Kelly. Let me let this just marinate for a moment. The community had gathered to release balloons to heaven in a request, like a direct balloon-ogram to God, please help us find Sherry.
This is correct. It happened, there was a turkey trot that morning, and in conjunction with that, people were going to use the opportunity to release balloons. Now, the first sign that she had been found was the family did not show up for the balloon release that they had organized. The closest family members, Keith, did not show up. And so behind the scenes, there were a lot of phone calls happening, again, early morning hours, 4:30 a.m., that she had been found, and then we would get the news confirmed later that day.
I mean, hold on, Kelly. I got to go to Sheriff Michael Johnson. A balloon release? Really?
Really?
begging, yeah, pleading with God, and the whole time she's snugged up at her ex-boyfriend's place. The balloon release, I did not know that. Yeah. I mean, the point is, I'm not mocking a balloon release. I've done balloon releases. I've gathered and had prayer circles and prayed for someone to be found. We recently did one for Suzanne Morphew, that somehow there would be justice in that case, that the truth would come out, whatever that may be. And I believe in prayer. But that she would manipulate the community, law enforcement, and her family, her children, oh my stars, thinking mommy's gone and may never come home. A balloon release, my rear end. I mean, when you look back and you think about what all everyone went through, the blood, the sweat, the tears, to find this woman who then tried to blame some, she says, three unknown Hispanics. What if there had been an arrest of people that matched her pretty accurate description? She gave a detailed description. What if someone had actually been arrested, for Pete's sake?
Well, as a matter of fact, the officers from various agencies were pulling over vehicles and anybody that remotely matched the descriptions and the suspects that she alleged had kidnapped her, because we're looking for clues and we're looking for suspects and we're trying to do our job. And it's all this hoax and painted picture by a self-serving and narcissistic personality that just doesn't care, only cares about herself.
So in the bottom line, Sheriff Johnson, what was her story? Who did she claim kidnapped her, starved her, beat her, broke her nose, and branded her with a hot branding iron? Who did she blame?
Well, she's blaming her boyfriend now, but who did she blame before?
I don't mean this iteration, Sheriff. I mean the old kidnappers. Oh, there they are. Who did she blame at the get-go, Sheriff Johnson?
That's who she blamed, those Hispanic women that kidnapped her, and she'd been held captive by a third person, and she was making it up as she went. And it just, as you heard, it became a community interest story and a nationwide interest story because of the circumstances involved. And it just became this perfect storm of lies. And once we got her back, once she was found, which was her getting dropped off on the side of the road and continuing her hoax, once we started that investigation, we had her and interviewed her, we knew that she had fabricated this. The problem was, you have to build the case and make absolutely sure that you have all the evidence before you come out and tell the public that she's in fact a liar. And in that meantime, she's out there meeting with other families. We have an unsolved case of a young girl who went missing here in Reading years ago. She went and met with that family and tried to sympathize with them and tell them how much they had in common and how she had been abducted as well. It's just her. Her narcissism just is sickening with this whole thing.
She went to another kidnapped girl's family and tried to empathize with them.
Yes, unsolved case in this poor family.
She did not get enough jail time for this. I'm just putting that out there. We need to rethink that. Now, joining me is a special guest, Dr. Stephen M. Diggs, Sherry Papina's therapist. He is a licensed psychologist and owner-director of the NYSA Therapy. He is the author of Secondhand Girl, From Foster Care to Borderline Personality to Peace. His website, nysatherapy.com. Dr. Diggs, thank you for being with us.
You're welcome.
You believe that your client, Sherry Papini, was in fact kidnapped.
I do.
By who?
By James.
The boyfriend.
The boyfriend.
Why?
Well, because even though Sheriff Johnson says she's narcissistic, I'm a specialist in personality disorder, and she is not narcissistic. She has another condition, which I've gone into at length in other places. But the real question is,
what condition would that be?
She has self-defeating personality disorder. Now, the real question is...
Now, could it possibly be the, I want attention from men, various men, no matter what I have to do to get it, and I have my life fed to me on a silver spoon, blah, 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 blah. I mean, didn't her family have issues with her violent outbursts before any of this happened?
The question shouldn't be, Nancy, why do I believe Sherry? The question should be, why do I not believe James? It is naive and simplistic of all of you to believe James when there hasn't been enough scrutiny placed upon him. And I can apply that scrutiny now if you'd like to have me do it.
The original Gone Girl, Sherry Papini, after doing hard jail time for a huge kidnap hoax, she now claims that she is, quote, setting the record straight.
Sherry Papini is setting the record straight on what really happened to her and why. She says the lie she told about being kidnapped by two Hispanic women was really supposed to be a tip for law enforcement as to the identity of her real kidnapper. Even though she admitted to law enforcement her disappearance was a hoax she orchestrated, Papini says she really was kidnapped, and she's the victim of two men, the ex-boyfriend who really abducted her and the ex-husband who emotionally abused her and made her miserable.
Let's try to make sense of what we know now. This is what I know. What she told police after she was discovered in a chain and zip ties. Let's go straight to her police interrogation. Listen.
If you want Keith to leave, I'll ask Keith nicely to leave. If you don't want Keith to leave, then he can sit here and
press on.
And we'll move on to the next stages. I want to give you that opportunity first.
Can you see those little wheels turning right there? They're asking, they're on to her lie that two Hispanic women did not kidnap her. There are too many inconsistencies. This is very, very wrong. And unbeknownst to her at this time, they have already interviewed and pollied the boyfriend who has never been charged and is still not charged and who cooperated. They've talked to his brother, his mother. They have thoroughly examined the scene and they know that she's lying. Okay. Now, they ask, hey, do you want us to make your husband leave? Joining me right now is a very special guest, a renowned body language expert, author of How to Detect Lies, Fraud, and Identity Theft at BodyLanguageTrainer.com. It's Tracy Brown. Tracy, I want you, Dr. Diggs, Dr. John Delatorre, another shrink joining us, and Daryl Cohen to watch her during her police interview. Now, did you see the way she looked at the investigator when he said, you want your husband to leave? And then she looks at him and she's all curled up. Now, I'm going to save you what happens for the next 5 to 8 minutes where she won't answer. Does she want him to leave? Should I stay or should I go? Nobody can decide. Okay. She doesn't say, no, I want him here. This goes on and on and on. But I want to hear from you, Tracy, what you think about her body language.
Whenever someone shrinks, they are not confident in what they're saying. And so we see her lean over. She's got her hand here on her chin. She's trying to explain things that maybe didn't really happen. And so she goes from being pretty still to all of a sudden really animated and bringing this in. But then again, we see her shrink. And so those dichotomies tell us, wait a minute, there's inconsistency in her in her thoughts. And it shows with her body language.
The cops leave. And then she and her husband whisper furiously, and this goes on, but I could hear what they're saying. And she's saying, I don't want them to find her. I don't want them to find her. Who is her? One of the Hispanic women that kidnapped her, beat her, and branded her, and broke her nose, and starved her. Okay, now we're going to hear, after furious whispering with her husband, how Sherry Papini doesn't want her kidnappers to be caught after they beat her, branded her, broke her nose, and starved her. She doesn't want them caught? because they don't exist. Listen.
I don't want them to find her. You're not listening to me.
Why?
Because she saved my life.
What do you want?
I don't want her to get in trouble.
She's not going to get in trouble. So the DNA came back to James Reyes.
The DNA that was on you belongs to James Reyes.
Okay, Daryl Cohen with me, veteran trial lawyer, former felony prosecutor in the same office where I prosecuted, inner city Atlanta, Fulton DA, now private attorney at Cohen, Cooper, Estep, and Allen. How do you think that husband's feeling about right now?
Well, Nancy.
And they say, hey, the DNA, like, all over you is your ex-boyfriend, not an Hispanic female. And he's like, truth bomb!
Well, Nancy, you can start with the fact this is not Sherry baby from the Four Seasons. This is Sherry, who may or may not be narcissistic, but she is clearly liasistic. When you have all of that DNA from an ex-boyfriend, it didn't just get there. It didn't fly in from the sky, and it didn't just arrive. She cannot tell the truth, and because she can't, she lies. And what happens when you lie? You have to remember what you said, and you have to be consistent. She was not smart enough to keep her story simple. She kept it complicated and confusing. And the more confusing she got, the more she had to remember, and the more difficult it was for her to be consistent. She is Sherry the liar, and who deserved much more incarceration time because of the fact that she wasted law enforcement's time and effort. And she ruined the public, because when people actually do get kidnapped, we want the public to be good. We want them to look for them. What we don't want is someone like Sherry the liar to ruin it for the people who actually are honest victims.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. About the polygraph. To Sheriff Michael Johnson, who inherited this case, Sheriff Johnson, Sherry Papini's private therapist, a renowned therapist, Dr. Stephen M. Diggs, states that she passed a poly. It's the first I've heard of it. Did she pass a poly?
No, she got two questions right on a poly. That's it. Two questions. That doesn't make her passing a poly. And I got to go back to something else about, you know, I always wondered how people can even still sympathize with Sherry and believe her. And I just heard the doctor that believes her. Actually, James came up the day before she went missing. So she went missing on November 2nd. He came up November 1st by her plan, rented a car as she told him to, was supposed to go missing that evening, didn't work out, plans didn't work out. He spent the night in his car in a parking lot and waited till the next day till they could orchestrate this big plan. How you could say that she was actually kidnapped now and blame James? And there, one other thing, I will agree with the doctor. She definitely has a personality disorder. I don't know what that technical disorder is, but I agree with your prosecutor. A liar is the best one I could say. Proven, convicted liar.
Dr. Diggs, did you know that fact that the boyfriend, James, who has never been charged with anything and fully cooperated along with his brother and his mother and others that saw Sherry Papini in his apartment, did you know he had come up the day before and rented a car pursuant to her request and ended up staying overnight?
Yes.
To leave with her the next day?
Well, I mean, what I believe is that she wanted to have a motel room or a parking lot and then get back home as quickly as possible, but that the plan to go and leave for 22 days was his. She did not have that plan.
Well, then why the rental car?
Well, because he wanted to get around in town, I suppose. I mean, he needed a way to drive around.
But she told him to get the rental car.
Perhaps. I don't know about that detail. I don't know.
Well, I mean, we're telling you, they have evidence that she told him to get a rental car and to come up the day before.
Right. Well, she's doing better through therapy, but she is a hardcore liar. I mean, that is true. What I'm saying is it takes critical critical thinking here, folks, to separate lying from abduction. Her crime was lying, but she was abducted. And if you look at the film she made, her polygraph person says both things can be true. She can be lying, and she could have been abducted. They can be true.
Okay, yeah, I agree with that. I mean, Dr. De La Torre is joining me, another amazing shrink, and I mean that in a loving and caring way, psychologist, mediator, specializing in forensic psychology, consultant to Project Absence, which is a nonprofit to help find missing people. Dr. De La Torre, thank you. I certainly think two things can be true, two seemingly inconsistent things. A, I know she's lying, but B, I don't think it's possible that she was kidnapped based on the hard evidence. So the fact that she claims to have passed a polygraph, and I know for a fact she did not pass a polygraph, the fact that she told someone to come ahead of time in a rental car driving almost 1,000 miles round trip to get her and take her away, there's got to be something in the DSM to describe this woman. Insane, it ain't, okay? Because that's a defense under the law. She knew what she was doing, De La Torre.
Oh, she absolutely knew what she was doing. I think there's an element of an impression management type presentation, meaning there are some individuals who need to come across a certain way to the world, to society, to the community, whoever, either as a hero or as a victim. These individuals will say and do anything in order to keep that kind of presentation going. I think there are elements maybe of histrionic personality disorder. If we were to really kind of boil down what exactly it is that's going on, uncomfortable in situations in which she's not the center of attention, shallow affect, there's a lot of elements in which she's trying to control a narrative in order to make herself seem like a victim. Now, with histrionic, unfortunately, these people tend to be more suggestible, where Sherry Papini seems to come across as more proactive in telling whatever falsehood she thinks is going to fit the situation that she finds herself in. And that's where we get the two things can be true at the same time, which is she's a liar, but believes that everything happened the way that she described it. A lie really only works if the liar believes.
Okay, well, wait a minute, De La Torre. Which time? The first time when it was the fake Hispanic kidnappers, or this time when it's the boyfriend? And did you notice Sheriff Michael Johnson, who has clarified that she did not pass a polygraph, did you notice when you guys are getting to go find and arrest two female Hispanic women, she's like, wait, I don't want them arrested because they let me go. They saved my life by letting me go. Translation, that's all a big fat lie, I don't want you to find out.
That's exactly what it was. Everybody knows it. And now suddenly, because she's in a court battle and wants custody of her kids, she's got a new story. And that's all this is she's looking for more attention. She wants to win a case. She wants sympathy. She wants some custody of her kids. And this is her next ditch effort to try to create more drama.
Rental agreements, phone rental, car rental agreements. We have everything that says that he said he told the truth.
That's James' brother, deceased Nick.
So everything, you've told us so many truths in this situation. The reason why you can describe the room is because you stayed in the room in the dark for hours, for days on end. The reason why you lost so much weight is because you stopped eating. The reason why you got a rash on your arm is because you cleaned his house. The reason why the brand is because he went to the store, bought the brand new tools, and branded you. The reason why your nose was broke is because of a hockey stick.
Wow. To Kelly Somm joining us, anchor, Action News Now, CBS and NBC affiliate in Reading. That's a lot of evidence. The rental agreement, the phone rental, the car rental, everything, DNA, blonde hair, the works. Now, that brings to light the fact that Sherry Papini was using a burner phone. And when she described the home of the female Hispanic kidnapper, she actually described the home of the boyfriend, James Reyes, down to a photo in his room of his dead brother.
I think what the investigation revealed is she was able to give these very detailed misrepresentations, so they sound believable. But then later, when you go to confirm them, they don't match up with reality. Some of the other details she shared was that she felt cold, and where she said she was kept, it rained almost every night. That there was a windy road, and she felt like she was being taken up in elevation as up into the mountains. That does not describe the boyfriend's apartment in Costa Mesa, California. It did not rain every night. It was definitely not cold there. So parts of the story were true, and then parts of them were not. It was a very detailed lie. And in that interview where they confronted her with the facts, they gave her an opportunity to say, is there a problem with your husband, Keith Papini? She said, no, I love my husband. I don't want to leave him. I'm a terrible person for communicating with former boyfriends. They gave her an opportunity to point the finger at James Reyes. And she said, no, James loves me. He's my friend. He wouldn't do anything like this. So they were, in essence, bending over backwards, giving her an opportunity to tell the story she waited another 5 years to tell.
Guys, there's more. But the fact that she was using a burner phone, Sheriff Michael Johnson is with us. The only people that I know that use burner phones are dope dealers and felons. I mean, why do you need a burner phone?
Because you want to create distance. You don't want law enforcement to find you. You don't want other people to find you. There's a number of reasons, right? Burner phones are the tool of the trade for criminal activity. And she's no different. Let's not forget, she's proven convicted liar. The whole thing's a hoax.
Guys, there's more. Listen to the interrogation and watch her body language and how she reacts.
No.
I rented a car.
No.
I drove up and picked her up. He passed the polygraph test, Sherry.
If that's not what happened, what didn't happen, Sherry?
I don't know. No, there's no way it's James. There's no way. There's no way.
The DNA doesn't lie.
His DNA
was on you.
There's no way.
Robert saw you in the house while you were down there.
Yeah. The boyfriend, James Reyes' brother, Robert, saw Papini in the house and everything was fine. Nobody was being held against their will, but that's her story now in a bizarre U-turn. The ultimate, the original Gone Girl says, okay, yes, maybe I wasn't kidnapped by two Hispanic females and beaten and starved, but I was kidnapped by my old boyfriend. Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. Okay, Daryl Cohen, another truth bomb is dropped on the husband. Do you notice how she's looking down and she won't look at the husband? When they say, yeah, your ex-boyfriend's DNA is all over you, woman.
Oh, it's wonderful, Nancy. She is digging and digging. She's not just using a little shovel. She's using a ditch digger because that is what she is doing piece by piece by piece. She's putting the story together that she cannot even fathom. Her husband, who apparently is a good person.
And Tracy, jumping off what Daryl Cohen is saying, do you notice how she does her face like this and won't even look at her husband when the cops sheriffs keep talking about your ex-boyfriend, James Reyes, DNA is all over you. His brother saw you. His mother knew you were there. I mean, she won't look at her husband, and she just keeps saying, it's not him, it's not him. But guess what? Today she says it is him.
Well, there's that, and here's what I notice off of that, is there's no tears. She's not, like, she's trying to cry, but when people cry, they'll paw at themselves. And she's not doing any of that. But if you listen to her tone, that's where she's trying to go. So fake tears right there.
You used a burner phone to call another burner phone for James to come and get you.
You're saying since your marriage, you haven't called James?
No, I have called James.
Because earlier you said you had contacted James. Because phone records show that you do. You did. The phones don't lie, the DNA doesn't lie, Sherry. You can go a couple different directions now.
His story.
I've already told you, lying to me is a crime. So you walk out this door with telling lies, and that's a crime.
I think we need my lawyer.
With me, in addition to our other incredible guests, is Sherry Papini's psychologist, her therapist, California psychologist at NYSA Therapy, Dr. Stephen Diggs. So, is there a rational explanation from Papini as to why she was using a burner phone to call James Reyes' burner phone? Why did they both need burner phones?
She was trying to have an affair with him. That's what she says.
But then why did he need a burner phone?
I don't know that.
Well, that's a hard question to answer. But I think I have a pretty good idea about why it could not be revealed that she was snugged up with her ex-boyfriend.
Talking to other guys that has got me here.
So are you, what aspect are you saying? Like how does talking to other people got you here? Well, you've gone over.
Obviously, you've heard the questions, so you can read through some of those and understand. You've seen some of the photos, so you know some of the investigative work.
Obviously, you saw me. I was like, we found him.
And we did.
But
you can also notice your reaction compared to her reaction.
Yeah. No, 100%. That's what I'm saying from my side, but now you're telling me, okay, you guys can go home now. Well, do you think I want her anywhere around my kids or around me at all at this point?
Isn't it true, Kelly Som, that after a previous incident of cheating, that Sherry Papini signed a post-nup after the marriage stating that she would lose custody if she cheated again. And that's why she couldn't admit that she was at her ex-boyfriend's place and covered in his DNA.
Correct. About a year into their marriage, Keith had Sherry sign that post-nuptial agreement saying, if I catch you cheating again, you're pretty much going to lose everything and you're going to lose the kids and the money. And that was in the back of her mind, very, very fearful of losing her children. And so that's what prompted the false story coming back that, no, I wasn't cheating. I wasn't communicating. I was hiding these communications with burner phones so I wouldn't be discovered and I wouldn't lose my children.
Okay, to Dr. Stephen Diggs, were you aware of the post-nup that if she cheated again, she would lose custody of the children and all the money?
Yeah, she's a liar and a cheater, and she's got self-defeating personality disorder, and as the other psychologist said, she's got histrionic features, too. These are all common activities in people with that diagnosis.
Okay. You know, to me, Dr. Dellatore, that post-nup that she would lose the children and the money if she cheated again, to me, that says it all. That explains why she has to say that she was kidnapped by the ex-boyfriend, James Reyes. Because if she can prove she was kidnapped, that means she wasn't cheating. And therefore, she can get money and children. Am I being clear, Dr. Dellatore?
Absolutely. It's the catalyst, right? So her husband already knew that this was a behavior that she could likely do again. And once she felt compelled to engage in that behavior, right, have the affair, she knew that she was going to have to find a way to skirt around this postnuptial agreement. I mean, I can't see how the kidnapping could be legitimate, as in it's like she was legitimately kidnapped, when she has every reason to lie and has done so in order to skirt around what is known going to be a consequence, which is losing everything that she has ever won.
I don't understand what the end game is now. Sheriff Michael Johnson with us, you and Dr. Diggs know this better than any of us. Sheriff Johnson, why the ID discovery special? I guess to further perception that she, okay, first of all, wasn't kidnapped, that she lied about that, that she lied about the two Hispanic females kidnapping her for what? They didn't molest her, they didn't get any money, and then they just said, oh yeah, you know what, forget it, I'm just going to throw her out on the street. That was a lie, she says, but now she's saying that she lied again. She's now saying that she was kidnapped, although you see her in all these confession tapes saying, it wasn't him, blah, 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 blah. I mean, what's the end game here?
I think the end game is just like Dr. De La Torre said. This is her last-ditch effort to try to get custody of her kids, to try to get some sort of stability with monetary stability back in her life. And probably because of her disorder and because of who she is, she's still starving for attention. She wants to be in the limelight. And I can't, yeah, I mean, you've covered a lot of it. There is so much evidence, overwhelming evidence, that she has lied and created this whole thing. And she, in fact, did not get kidnapped. It's just ridiculous to me that we're even talking about this because she's come up with a new lie.
What do you think is the strongest evidence, Sheriff, that she was not kidnapped by the ex-boyfriend? In addition to what his mother says, his brother says, they're both using burner phones. And by the way, that was a 900-mile round trip he took, okay, just to get her. Really? Is she worth that?
At her direction.
But that says she was in the car for 450 miles. She couldn't jump out or use one of her burner phones to get away?
Oh, they stopped at it. They stopped and let her use the restroom on the way after she was picked up on the way back to his place in Costa Mesa. If she really wanted to get away and she was really abducted and kidnapped, she had opportunity not to be held by her captive at all. And there is, I don't know, when you say what's the most compelling evidence, I don't know that there is one thing. It's a conglomeration of all these facts put together that makes such a strong case, which is why she confessed, which is why she did prison time, which is why she agreed to restitution payments for the time and money she wasted on everybody. Now this is just another Sherry Papini lie.
I want you to hear something else, everybody. And of course, I'm no shrink. We can all agree on that. I'm just a JD. But I want you to hear this.
James said you had your jaw broken by him, and that's why he came and got you, because you were in an abusive relationship.
To Daryl Cohen joining me, longtime colleague. We prosecuted in the same office together. Daryl, you've met my husband, David, many, many times, and the twins. When I see you or talk to you, do I immediately say, I love my husband?
Nancy.
No. As Shakespeare said, methinks thou doth protest too much. Why does she keep saying, I love my husband? Because obviously she's busted with her ex-boyfriend.
Because she's been caught and she doesn't know what to do. She's been so caught. No, when I run into you, your body language, the way you and your husband are together tells me everything. And I may not be a certified body language expert, but I look at facial expressions. I look at body language. I watch what's going on. And that tells me a lot. No, you don't so overly say, oh, I love my husband, but it's what you do that makes it all worthwhile. It's how you do it.
Let's go to an expert. Tracy Brown, Daryl Cohen hit it on the head. What does that mean that she keeps saying, and that was just one tiny tidbit. I've watched the whole thing ad nauseum, and she keeps saying, I love my husband, and trying to cry. But what does that mean when you keep asserting that? Nobody asked her.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Nobody asked her at all. And so this is what she wants you to believe, at all times, whenever anybody is asking any kind of important question, you got to ask yourself, what do they want you to believe about them? And that's, in this case, number one, that she loves her husband, even though nobody asked. Nobody probably cares, but this tells us something about what she wants us to believe about her relationship and how she operates in the world.
Sadly, Sherry Papini cannot be prosecuted for lying to Discovery ID, or else she'd be facing another slew of charges. Let's stop and remember an American hero, Officer Adrian Lopez, White Mountain Apache PD, shot in the line of duty, leaving behind a grieving wife, Lushana, and two children. American hero, Officer Adrian Lopez. Nancy Grace signing off. Goodbye, friend. This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.